serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, honoring the legacy of Chuck Lishman, one of America's last Pearl Harbor survivors who just passed away at the age of 97. His four children, 10 grandchildren, 25 great-grandchildren never would have been born if he hadn't survived a string of close calls, starting with December 7th, 1941. When we left off, you heard him refer to the sinking of his ship, the USS Perry, just 3 days after he had transferred off of it. We'll get to more specifics on that in a moment, but this was 1944, and Chuck was starting to wonder how many more battles his little destroyer-turned-minesweeper could make it through.
Like, we went into Tin Yan. We swept Saipan, but then this was at Tin Yan, and we were sweeping the mines there. And, well, before the invasion, we went in there before we were going there, and we had we were sweeping, and the Japs were shooting at us, and then the second day, the battleships come in to bombard. The first day we swept, and then we get closer to the beach. And then the second day, the battleships and the cruisers come in, and they start bombarding the beach. Well, here we are down here sweeping. The Japs are shooting this way. Shells are going right over the top of it, going, and then the battleships had let loose, you know, and they go, going this way. In there, man, I hope those suckers don't miss, you know. But anyway, that was another thing, too. Another thing, too, when we were out there, this Pigtail Betty, I guess is what they call a Japanese bomber. And anyway, he came down here, and here we had all of our ships out there. He flies down between us, you know, and here we are shooting each other, trying to hit that plane, which is a joke. You know, it's funny, you know, I don't suppose we're not supposed to do that in the Navy, but they did. And one admiral was up there in a spotter plane. He was up there. We shot him down. He didn't give the message, I mean, the right code or something like that, so we shot him down. So then we went over and picked him up, and he was cussing. Man, he was really pushed at us. I won't go into all that, but he was really laying down a stream of, no identification, but anyway. And then, of course, we did shoot down some Japanese planes.
And the Perry was going to be headed to Peleliu in September of 1944 when an unexpected and life-saving change came Chuck's way.
What had happened is Brand was second class, and I was third class water tender. So he made first class water tender, the first class petty officer, and I got rated to second class petty officer, and the Navy Department wanted to send a second class water tender petty officer back to go to firing school and turbines and pumps and stuff to Philadelphia for new construction. So anyway, they came down to the fire room. I was down in the fire room, and this ensign came aboard, well, lieutenant, and he happened to be a neighbor of my uncle's there in Long Beach. So he came down to see me on how everything was. It just happened that way. And I told him, I said, you know, this ship is going to go down. I just have a feeling. I've been on it through all of this stuff. But I just have a feeling that this ship is going to go down this trip. And we had quite a talk to see how the family was and, you know, how you do. And next thing I knew, they came running down there in the fire room, and they said, hey, Lishman, get your gear together. You're going back to the States. Well, that was a joke, you know. I thought they were out of their minds. So anyway, that's the way it was. And anyway, I got off of that sucker. But they threw me down in that motor whale boat and hauled me over there, and that was at I think that was Aniwetok. After I left that ship, it went up to Peleliu, got sunk. My second was on, and that's what I meant. All the fellas in my second was killed, every one of them. And Brand had taken my place for my section. I got off, he moved into my section, and he got killed. It was my section on there and watch, it got killed. They hit a mine, they sweep mines. And that's what we did. It's very dangerous, and it's very, you know, we have acoustic mines that rattle, and they put those on, and then they have electric, you know, magnetic mines, and they have, so anyway, they have a great big cable out here with great big generators, and we pulsate them when it shoots out, and then that blows up the mines, and then we have two paravanes that go out the side that cut them loose, and then they come up, and then we shoot them. There's three different ways we get them. Well, they're supposed to go in tandem, and evidently the Perry got out from behind this mine when they made a sweep. They missed it, and a mine got them, and that was it. The Perry went down.
Believe it or not, nearly a decade after interviewing Chuck, I was with a veteran in Iowa who got emotional talking about a childhood friend who'd been killed in the war. It turned out that friend was one of the men who went down with the Perry. Chuck Lishman had known him. And of course, Chuck knew the man, Joseph Brand, who would come to embody in Chuck's mind the concept articulated in John 15:13. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. Sometimes that sacrifice comes knowingly. In this case, Brand did not know he would be trading his life for Chuck's.
My section was in the fire room at the time, and the thing blew the fire room and killed everybody there, and one of my replacements was Brand, and he took my place, and all the fellas in my section was killed, and that mine. And of course, the Perry went down. And what, 60-some years, I think, later, they found the Perry.
Yeah, some divers found it, actually, in the year 2000, and now on that wreckage, they have a plaque that honors the eight men who died, and what the first name on that plaque is Joseph Brand.
Yeah.
And he was the guy who took your spot on
the
Perry.
That's right, in my section. After being on there 3.5 years, it goes out and gets sunk after I got off of it. I think there was 12, possibly 13 minesweepers, and every one of them was sunk. We never got it. We got one ship, I think, that came back to the States was all that was left. No, it was bad duty. I tell you, I give all my prayers and thanks to the Lord. He's been with Dorothy and I, and we both love the Lord, so hey, I can't thank him enough for my life, for my family.
And as for the discovery of the Perry's wreckage more than a half century after it sank, here's Dorothy Lishman with some of how that came about.
It was one of the fellows that was on the Perry, and there'd been divers looking for it, and Larry Tunks down, he's in Huntington Beach, and he was on it, and he remembered a little differently about where the ship went down. So he was talking to some friends, and three of them, he flew down there, and they hired a diver, a local diver. And Larry was telling him just about where he thought it was, and the divers were questioning because they'd looked for it for years, several expeditions, and the fellows went down and found it. And Larry was so excited. Of course, he couldn't dive to find the ship, but when they found it, he jumped in the water with them and was celebrating. And then the divers eventually made this plaque and threw a lay of flowers out and took the plaque down and planted it by the Perry. And actually, they can't go on it because of the bodies of the fellows that were never recovered.
They're all still there. And of course, in the eyes of Chuck Lishman, who could so easily picture himself in their place, they were some of the real heroes of World War II, paralleled by the heroes who've existed in every conflict and exist in our armed forces today.
Well, I think there's a lot of people here that do the jobs out there that are not what you'd call heroes and decorated and everything else, but just think of all the people that's put their lives on those little ships that go out there and do the job, and they do the job that they're told to do and has to do, and that's what gets it done. They just don't fly over it and get a medal. They earn every one of the medals that they ever get. And those poor guys out here in the Veterans Hospital that are really hurting, man, they're the heroes of the forces in the United States.
We've taken a journey through the most intense of Chuck Lishman's 97 years on this earth, but let's not forget the other half of that 77-year marriage. Imagine being in Dorothy's shoes for all those tense and sometimes terrifying years during the war.
Well, we were married 11 months and 11 days before I saw him after our quick wedding in Las Vegas. And at that time, my mother got us a wedding cake, and we had the pastor came out, and we had open house on a Sunday afternoon and cut our wedding cake 11 months and 11 days later. In the 4.5 years, I saw Chuck 4 times. I realize that kids now have a hard go with their husbands and fathers and sons in Vietnam, but go back 2 generations, and we didn't have telephones and we didn't have email. When Chuck and I got married in Las Vegas, we sent a Western Union telegram home to our parents to tell them that we had gotten married, and I had no contact with him. We got these little letters, and they were all censored, and if any of the fellows wrote anything that they thought was any clue to where they might be or what they were doing, they just cut the piece out of the letter, so you would get it with little sections chopped out. Yes, it was a long time, but when Chuck got back in, I was waiting with our son, who was 5 months old, and his dad had never seen him in San Francisco.
I came back on the General Gordon, and we came into San Francisco, and of course, you got out with points. I had so many points. I had a wife and a child, and my enlistment was up, and I didn't have any trouble having enough points to get out. But when we came back into San Francisco, they just told to get off of the base until they could get our papers together. Well, they gave us a physical. I went up to get out, get my discharge, and I had 102 temperature. Well, I didn't know it, but they said, well, you got to go to the hospital or get out. So I looked over there and here Dorothy and my new baby son that I hadn't even seen. I wasn't going to the hospital even with the temperature, and I figured, heck no, so I want out. Well, I got out. That was a mistake.
You were pretty sick, I take it.
Yeah, I had 102 temperature, but nobody knew what it was. And come to find out, I had unguent fever and something else. I don't know.
And for as long as I knew Chuck, I had no idea until visiting him in the hospital in his final days that he suffered from medical complications from that time through the rest of his life. I never heard him complain about it, and I doubt very many did. He would much rather tell you why we all need to remember Pearl Harbor, as he did in these comments from 2007.
Remember, it's for a sneak attack. In other words, I don't think this country, as much knowledge as they need, they know what's going on. If we're attacked, then I think we really ought to go at it. And I'll tell you another thing. If this Iraq war had started out like it did in World War II, we'd have cleaned this sucker up in 3 days. We had the manpower and the guys to do it, and they wouldn't have been fooling around over here stinging a bunch of guys over there just to get killed to hold a space. That's the way I feel. You know what I mean. I mean, we wouldn't have fooled around with it. I mean, if you're attacked, you're attacked. Look at Iwo Jima and all the rest of those suckers. Man, howdy. Those guys went in there, Guadalcanal, walling around over there. They fought. They had a cause. I mean, that's the way I feel. I think of the poor devils that's left out there in some of these islands and whatnot. I think, it's a shame. All the people that are hurt, crippled, died for the cause that they did. Have you ever been back to that war memorial back in Washington, D.C.? Well, you walk around and you see all of them, Korea and Vietnam and Pearl Harbor and Kiska and Attu and the Aleutians and the New Guinea and Guadalcanal and all that stuff. And see, and I was in almost every one of those suckers. And when I think how much they fought and died for this country, it really hurts me. And December 7th should be a remembrance. This country needs to be wide awake, keep our military strong. And it has to be. If we go down the tubes, we'll never fall from out. We'll fall from within.
And to illustrate the consistency and sincerity of those feelings, here are some similar but slightly different thoughts from another one of our conversations.
Oh, man, we have to be prepared. We were so sucked in on this war. Nobody even had any idea. Well, it said they didn't anyway, and I'll leave that up to somebody else. But I didn't know it, and I don't think anybody else did there at the fleet there in Pearl Harbor. They were all standing around and breakfast and getting ready for liberty and everything else. And when this was such a surprise, this United States should never let that happen again. Never, never. Go into war. It's bad. It's not good at all. There's too many people dying, too many innocent people get killed for nothing. But let's protect our own shores and be alert.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Keep America alert. That was always the motto of the Pearl Harbor Survivors Association. Chuck Lishman made it a way of life. And one final word from this man who never knew a stranger and was never shy about telling you how he really felt, sometimes whether Dorothy wanted him to or not. They heard this loud and clear a time or two at Raymond Community Church, where the Lishmans made so many friends over the last 18 years. Chuck felt very strongly that God was directing his steps and preserving his life.
Oh, I know he has. Hey, we've been blessed so far beyond everything we can imagine. Man, howdy, we have been blessed.
I shared those final words with his friends and family at Chuck's memorial service last weekend, concluding that all of us were blessed to have known a man like Chuck. Thanks for allowing us to honor his legacy today. If you'd like to find photos of Chuck and Dorothy as newlyweds and as nonagenarians, go to hometownheroesradio.com and find us again next time on this same station at this same time when we're reminded again of what those on Oahu, December 7th, 1941, those like Chuck Lishman, knew oh so well. Our freedom is not free.